You back?
Back.
Good. So, Jim, are you implementing these materials, or are you having instructors implementing them?
We certainly are learning from the people involved in these workshops, and that certainly gets included in our materials as we create them and revise them. But this is mainly for faculty.
Oh, I see. So you're doing workshops for faculty.
Right.
You're doing workshops for faculty. I see.
Right. And they will use these materials and the information in their courses. And, of course, some of them may actually create a paleo course, which is sort of ultimately
a good idea. Jim, just because I was the only one on the phone and we didn't have it recording and Kate's on the phone now, you want to just give a brief recap of what the materials are for her and for the recording?
Sure. We just finished a series of workshops for minority-serving institution faculty, people at MSIs like HBCUs, tribal colleges, Hispanic-serving institutions, and a whole host of community colleges. And these faculty, were chosen for the fact that they have a course, some kind of course dealing with climate science or that sort of thing, they desire to know more about paleo. And so we worked with the Ice Core people at Dartmouth and at the National Ice Repository, Nickel in Denver, and the INSTAR, the Isotope Lab in Denver, to create a special workshop dealing with ice cores and the paleo information you can get from ice cores. And then a week later, we did the same thing down at the sea floor sediment core repository, the Gulf Coast Repository at Texas A&M, where the professors, a different group this time, learned about seafloor sediment cores. And they met a lot of the researchers in the field. They got lots of information. They participated in lots of hands-on activities, which they could adapt for their students. The whole idea is to get them very excited about paleo so they do good job teaching paleo within their courses, which are typically climate courses or oceanography courses. And so they have the latest information on this. And our whole idea is we've developed a series of workshops around the courses that we create for college and university adoption. And we've had a diversity program for our weather, ocean, and climate courses. But now we've spun off into partnerships that kick that up a notch, dealing with paleo, both for ice cores and sediment cores. And it's been it's been really good.
Paleo piece is how you're addressing climate change in these environmental geology and environmental science courses. Is that
right? It may be kind of a standalone thing, or maybe they're just going to deal with climate, but they really ought to be able to say something about past climates and abrupt climate change and that sort of thing within the geologic record. And we provide them with lots of information and data sources and material so they can do anything from just have a little section on it to actually getting students involved in research projects using authentic data. In the case of seafloor sediments, actually perhaps samples from the sediment cores. And this has been the sediment core workshop developed out of a NSF-funded sort of trial run. It was a planning grant that we held down there, and we learned a lot from that. It was successful, and then we submitted an unsolicited grant proposal that was shopped around NSF, and they finally decided that they would give us the money. So we put it together, and we did our first one this year. It's a 2-year grant. They will come. A different group will come next year. There is faculty mentoring from the researchers and the staff to these faculty so that they have continuing interaction with people that know about sediment cores and ice cores. There also is a piece at the end when we're done, we're going to bring both cohorts from this year and next summer to the GSA meeting in Vancouver in, I guess it's 2017. And so they'll present at that meeting about their their success in incorporating these topics into their courses, how they did it, how they got students involved in research or whatever they did. And, you know, we're hoping that...
So do you know what fraction of the people that are part of these workshops actually do implement the materials with their students?
I think they do. That was certainly the case with the planning grant. And that kind of leveraged the ICE Core grant, which was, it wasn't that well funded, but it was funded by Lockheed Martin, which is noteworthy in that we weren't looking for federal funding at that point in time. They kind of found us. And evidently they heard that we were doing seafloor sediments and they thought we should be doing ICE. And Lockheed put up the money. They run the infrastructure for McMurdo and Palmer and South Pole stations in Antarctica. They do all the logistical stuff that needs to be done to allow scientific research stations to operate down there. So they gave us some money to do a proof of concept because they wanted ICE Cores to be involved in our paleo initiatives, and I think we did a good job. I think we may have perhaps future funding from them, and we're going to go into our second year with our NSF-funded workshop on the seafloor sediments, and we'll see where that goes. We're just hopeful that we can get these topics into minority-serving institutions, just like we're happy to get a climate course, an ocean course, or some type of weather course, because these minority-serving institutions basically did not have any coursework in these areas for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And it was important for them with sort of a revolving faculty of adjuncts and that sort of thing to actually have kind of the turnkey courses like we create for beginning students. And that's important for students to sample a survey course to see that they're interested in this stuff. And, of course, that goes along with our partnership with NOAA in terms of pipeline issues, NASA. We work with them on pipeline. And if you don't have a sample course for students to take where the minority students go, you're kind of... not going to proceed very far. We obviously can't go directly to the students. We have no way to do that. But if you get the faculty members who are most influential in these students' lives to be very, very excited about a topic, they'll carry that excitement to their students and then provide some content in the courses that will excite the students. And hopefully that will incrementally on a small basis perhaps get more students into our fields. At any rate, NSF has, found that they would put some money into that for repeated grants to AMS, and now they've done it with the ICE Core people and us in partnership, and with Ocean Leadership and us in partnership with the paleo piece. So, and of course, we know about those faculty and what they're doing in their courses because at least most of them use our materials, so we've got a relationship with them. And you know are they still teaching an oceanography course? Are they still teaching a climate course? That we know because they're renting books from us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So are there any announcements? We sort of had Jim started talking before there were many people on the phone, but I wanted to ask if there were any announcements. Well, I do want to remind everybody that we do have climate literacy sessions at both the GSA meeting and at the AGU meeting. At GSA, we have one climate literacy session, so we're soliciting anybody who is interested in presenting to submit to that session. I think it's T68. And then we have, I believe, 11 sessions at AGU on a variety of topics. If you go to the Clean Network teleconference page, at the top are the links to submitting abstracts for both of those. And for AGU, it's a link to the titles of the various sessions and then how to read the description. So just want to let everybody know that. And if there's ones that you're particularly interested in and would like to advertise individually, that would be great, too.
We're planning on putting the higher ed notice out to our higher ed groups, and I think there was one in there for K-12, and we're going to shoot that to our
K-12
data stream.
Yep. Kate, will you be coming to the AGU meeting? I know it's close to you, right?
No, I won't be.
I see. Okay, but we'll see Minda there.
Yeah. She's actually at NEA now, or heading to Florida for it, for the National Educators Association.
So I see.
I'm sure she will be there.
Okay, great. Are there any other comments or announcements or questions? Well, I think everybody is kind of on their way for a long, I mean, this is early in the week for the long holiday weekend, but it just seems that everybody is away. We are also still looking for people to give presentations next fall. Scott and I have put together a list, and we started to contact people. But if anybody on the phone is interested, you can let us know. And the dates are all posted. And if it says informal discussion, that means that it's an open date that you can grab. And you can either make a presentation yourself or your group, or you can suggest somebody else that might be who could give a talk that might be of interest to the rest of the CLEAN network.
I know Minda was interested in doing that with some stuff regarding NCSC, so I'll remind her when she gets back about that.
Okay, great. Are there any other comments or questions? We might just have a very short teleconference today, which is okay. I appreciate everybody calling in. It is helpful to have it regularly on your calendar so that it's available when people really, really want to use it, make use of it, or when there's something that we need to address quickly.
Yeah, I agree.
Hi,
need to keep it on the calendar.
Yes,
hi,
absolutely.
Hi, this is Joe Levine. I was wondering what kinds of sessions are you looking for these, for your workshops on these various at these various meetings?
Well, for GSA, it's any basically we actually have one session and it covers the spectrum of activities. So informal and formal education, formal both at the higher ed and K-12, and research and evaluation activities. So it really does cover the spectrum. At AGU, here I can pull up the list here. It is actually in a Google Doc. So if you go to the top of the teleconference page, you'll see that you can go to the Google Doc that has all the titles with the link to the session description. But we have one focus on K-12, one focus on higher ed, one focused on building bridges between scientists and educators, one on climate education and outreach utilizing ocean observations, one on eliciting citizens to help produce and assess climate-relevant information, one on informal education, one on models, impacts, and best practices from research and evaluation, one on misconceptions and barriers with respect to climate literacy, scaling impacts of climate literacy through effective partnerships and networks. We have one on the culture of science, one on place-based education, and then we actually have a union session that's by invitation only, but that's focused around the collective impact conversation. And then we will have, after the sessions are over, meaning we will probably have these sessions Monday through Wednesday. On Thursday morning, we will have a climate literacy workshop, basically a jump-off from the union session to have conversations about collective impact and what collective impact for regional or member networks might look like. So that's the spectrum of activities that are going on. Those first ones are all different sessions to which you can submit your abstract. If you go and look at those sessions and you look at the descriptions and you're still not sure, you can either email the conveners of the session to ask where you think you feel like you fit better, or you can contact me and I can help facilitate that. I will say that if a session doesn't get enough abstracts, it either goes as a poster session, or we can combine them to have some oral sessions where we combine them. And since I've been in contact with all of the conveners, I kind of know everybody. So if you think your paper might belong in one or two, you might find out at the end that it gets combined with the other one that you probably have relevance to, because we do try to combine the ones that are the most relevant. So, and as a, just so everybody knows, I'm the education chair for AGU, so I'm the one that actually does the scheduling of these sessions, mm-hmm. at least this year and next year.
And this is Tamara who's speaking?
Tamara, yes, Tamara Ledley.
Yeah, Tamara, sorry. Yeah, so I don't want to waste other people's time, but maybe I'll be in touch with you. If Minda was on the phone, she could give you an idea of her impression as to whether some of the stuff that I have to offer would be useful or not in that context, because
mm-hmm.
She's seen it. But I don't want to waste other people's time on this single issue, so I'll get in touch with you separately.
Okay, very good. And your last name is?
Levine.
Levine, okay.
These are very the good. Go-to sessions on climate education at AGU. They are very well attended and very well thought of, and you'll really get a sense of the landscape if you attend a number of these sessions.
One of the things that's unique about this is that we don't have our own separate meeting, and it would be hard to get a whole lot of people to come to our own separate meeting. This is the largest gathering of climate change education people, I believe, anywhere. We had over 100 papers last year, and probably twice. I can't say how many individuals. Obviously, there were presenters for all of those, but there's obviously multiple authors, it is very well attended, and it is a place to network and learn about all the other activities that are going on and develop new partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. Well, very good. If there are no other questions or comments, we will end our call and we'll talk again next week. And I will be away, but I believe Minda Berbeco at NCSC has agreed to facilitate next week's call. So she will be on the phone
yep.
next.
Yes, she will be.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye.